Okay, good morning, church. It's nice to see all of you once again. And last week, anyone remembers what chapter we did from the book of Acts? This is Acts 7. Last week, what you did? Chapter 6, okay. It could be chapter 7, the first portion also, right? but we are going to touch upon chapter 6 today because our portion for today is a continuation from Acts 6 towards the end to Acts chapter 7. So it's kind of 6 and 7. 6 part 2 of 6 and part 7. So Uncle Stephen led us very well last week, and he gave us a very brief description of how what was happening during those times. And whenever we read the book of Acts, it reminds me of our culture. Very similar to our culture, our church. Like, they met up, they ate, broke bread together, they had, you know, each other to help each other. So many times we don't even know whoever is in need help. We try and help them. And, you know, so many things that the disciples did, we try to, copy it or grasp it in our lives. So before we begin with Acts 6 part 2 and 7, we'll just pray. Father God, we want to thank you for this time, and we want to give it all to you, O Lord God, because Lord, you know, Lord, the story of Stephen, and you know, Lord, what life he lived, O Lord God, and how you want to impact it in our lives, O Lord God. Make an impact in our lives, O Lord, through his life. Lord, even as we listen to it, we reflect on it, O Lord God. Help us to understand and know, Lord God, that you are indeed a God who moves people, who turns around situations. And Lord God, you can change our lives too, O Lord God. We surrender all things into your hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay. So yes, the life of Stephen the martyr. Okay, so we'll read from Acts 7 first. Okay, I'll just read it. Y'all can just hear it and just try to imagine the situation, because it's a very dramatic chapter. Okay, so you imagine now Stephen was working with all the widows, and he was trying to give them food. So he was selected amongst all the disciples and said, now you will be giving food. That was a concern, right? Last week we heard, and Stephen was given, he was in charge, and there were certain criteria that he fulfilled to fit into this category of people who will be feeding the widows. Now what happens is, he is in front of the high priest. Now in those days, high priests were the dominant figures, the governing bodies kind of thing. So whatever they say go, will go. Whatever they say no, will not happen. So it says, then the high priest asked Stephen, are these charges true? So Stephen was doing something. Okay, so we'll get back to this. So he says, are these charges true? So basically what happens is Stephen was praying over people, getting them healed, and he was telling the good news about Jesus. To this he replied, brothers and fathers, listen to me. The God of glory appeared to our father Abraham while he was still in Mesopotamia. Before he lived in Haran, leave your country and your people, God said. Go to the land I will show you. So he left the land of the Chaldeans and settled in Haran. After the death of his father, God sent him to this land where you are now living. He gave him no inheritance here, not even enough ground to set his foot on. But God promised him that he and his descendants after him would possess the land, even though at that time Abraham had no child. So he goes on to speak on to the people about how, you know, God spoke, and how 400 years your descendants will be strangers. So he speaks about Abraham, he speaks about Moses, he speaks about how Moses had to bring the Israelites into Egypt, and how they were grumbling and all that. then he goes on to say that on their second visit, Joseph told his brothers, this is verse 13, who he was and Pharaoh. So he basically reminds them the whole history. Okay, so there are 60 verses in this. If I read all the 60 verses, then the sermon will get over. Okay, the time limit. So that's why I'm running through it. So it's just that you all can read through it. But basically, it is all about how, what all happened. Okay, so Joseph's story, he says, no. Basically, he narrates the whole Bible to the high priest, who may have known, who may have not known. So high priest means he should be knowing all this history, geography, right? But he narrates it, okay? And then you see how he connects it to Jesus Christ. So he says, then the Lord, okay, 33, then the Lord said, so this is again Moses' story, which goes on. And, yes, so in verse 44, he says, our ancestors had the tabernacle of the covenant law. So now he comes to the tabernacle. Now he is slowly trying to connect Jesus to all this. Then he speaks about, he speaks about David, he speaks about Solomon, he speaks about everything. So what do you think? Stephen is an, he knows so much about the Bible. What do you think? Do we know who Solomon was? Some of us may know, some of us may not know. Okay, Solomon was David's son. But Stephen, thorough learning or study about what happened in the history, who is this, who is that, and he is explaining to the high priest, basically the whole Old Testament. Now, finally, he talking, Stephen also gets a little high on tone. And he says, you stiff-necked, call somebody stiff-necked, that too I'm talking to an authority, okay? Because he says, in spite of you knowing this, you have not, you know, understood. So he says, you stiff-necked people, your hearts and ears are still uncircumcised. You are just like your ancestors. You always resist the Holy Spirit. So here he speaks about the Holy Spirit. Was there ever a prophet your ancestors did not persecute? So he challenges them. He tries to tell them, this is what you have done. They even killed those who predicted the coming of the righteous one. And now you have betrayed and murdered him who you who have received the law that was given through angels but have not obeyed it. When the members of the Sanhedrin heard this, they were furious and gnashed their teeth at him. But Stephen, what does he say? Full of the Holy Spirit. Here he says, you always resist the Holy Spirit. So he, from the Holy Spirit, from the Spirit of God, he is telling them that you do not have the Holy Spirit. And here it says that he is being tortured. He is being, caught, and he is being arrested and all that, and beaten up. He says, but Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, looked up to heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Look, he said, I see heaven open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. At this, they covered their ears and yelling at the top of their voices, they all rushed at him and dragged him out of the city and began to stone him. Meanwhile, witnesses laid their coats at the feet of a young man named Saul. Now, this is the later part of the story, which we will hear maybe next coming Sundays. While they were stoning him, what did Stephen do? Stephen prayed, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Then he fell on his knees and cried out, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. When he had said this, he fell asleep. What do you think? Is it a happy ending or a tragic ending? Come on, you can reflect on it. Happy ending, tragic ending. Tragic? How many of you all raise your hand? Tragic? Do not fear. Whatever answer you say is, like, you know, according to your reflection, analysis and all. What do you think? It's a happy ending for Stephen or a sad ending? Both. Happy. Okay. Joel has a reason. happy? Yes. So, yes, sad for the people who looked on him, sad for the people who saw it from their physical eyes. Said, yes, it's a sad ending. Poor guy. What he thought he would do. Poor guy. Okay. So, it says in the verses that the wisdom of man is foolishness in God's sight. Okay. So, people thought this fellow, you know, he thought that he will convince the high priest. But look what happened. And here, who came to receive him? The Holy Spirit looked up and he said that Jesus standing, and he saw that Jesus standing at the right hand of God. What a joy. We were singing today of all those songs only, no? In Christ alone, my hope is found. But who dare to do this? Where actually when we are, martyred, or when we are stoned, or we are under observation, or when the law tells us that what we are doing is, you know, illegal or whatever, and we are under trial, and if we see this, you know, how joyful we will feel that God approves of me. My foolishness, which people think is my foolishness, is wisdom for God, right? So, this is what we are going to learn today, or this is what we are going to, actually it is more of reflection, because it's a very straightforward story. Stephen, this, you know, he was a man of God, he was martyred and he died. But how does it imply to us? Now let's know a little bit more about Stephen, okay, before we actually go on. So who was Stephen? He was chosen by the disciples. Okay. What happened was there are two kinds of Jews. Like, you know, and there were many others, but there was a category of Jews. I think last time Uncle explained. So there were these Jews. Okay, so they had, Hellenistic Jews were not like kind of origin of Israel, but during the exile, when there was a lot of war happening, they happened to be under the authority of the Greeks. So they knew how to speak Greek, but they were actually Jewish origin. So that is how they came to know, they came to be known as a Hellenistic Jews. Now, Stephen was chosen because these Hellenistic Jews were quarreling with the disciples, saying that our widows are not getting food and water. And now Peter decided that we cannot waste our time in all this, but this is also important. So let's, give charge to other people, like who are, so there was a criteria, who are filled with the Holy Spirit, who are full of faith, who are gracious. So all this criteria was there. So they did not randomly say, okay, you, it's such a small job, giving food to the widows, just go and do it. No. They saw to it that this person is a good and a good believer, good, has a good knowledge of God, he's filled with the Spirit. So it's not like anybody. So when we say, no, volunteers, please come in, we do not have the criteria, this. But we see to it that, you know, they saw to it that these people were full of the Spirit. So that's how we know about Stephen. So Stephen was chosen by the disciples. He was in service to the Hellenistic widows. And so I told you who were the Hellenistic. And he was Hellenistic Jew himself. Means he was of Greek. He could speak Greek, he could speak other languages himself. And he was full of the Holy Spirit. That's what the scripture tells us. He was a man full of faith. Now, how do we know he was a man full of faith? Can anyone remember what Uncle told last week? Okay, so I'll tell you. In Acts 6:8, it says Stephen performs various wonders and signs. Means, when he prays, what happens? Miracles happen. How can miracles happen if we do not have faith, right? So, he's a man full of faith. He knew for sure that if I pray, if I do something, then things will change, things will happen. Throughout the history of the early church, various charismatic gifts such as healing, like, you know, and gifts of faith were practiced. Okay, even now it is practiced. So that is, he was full of faith. So in Acts 6:8, he says, Stephen, a man full of God's grace. Okay, so he was man full of faith, man full of Holy Spirit, man full of God's grace and power. Can you, if you meet that man, if you meet such a person, what do you think? How would you feel meeting such a person? Wow, you know, you will feel, wow, I'm so blessed to meet you, sir, sir. Say, sir, please come to my house. Like, you feel so, wow, like that, no? So, this Stephen was like this. So, you can imagine how he might have been. Now, next. Members of the synagogue, they were also called freedmen. Now, who are these people? These were the people who passed a judgment on Stephen. Who are they? Why were they called freedmen? Okay, these men were freed slaves from various parts of the Roman Empire. So that is why they were called freedmen. That means, who was greater, Stephen or these freedmen, according to the description given? The freedmen were slaves, whereas Stephen was also a part of their community. So nobody was greater, nobody was smaller. So these freedmen were very staunch Jews. So many times what happens, I'll tell you how it all happens. When we go, suppose if we are born in a particular place, a state, but we want to keep our heritage. So what do? Even if we go to US, UK, you will find that the community is intact. Why? The parents insist on speaking their mother tongue. And they will say, okay, you know, and that community is intact because they are so staunch, like, we want them to speak a particular language. So, for example, I'm saying, if there's a Gujarati, they will only speak Gujarati even in US, UK, Canada, anywhere. Because they want their culture or the heritage to be carried and they don't want the children to forget that. Similarly, when they were, like these freedmen, they were slaves in the Roman Empire. So, what did they do? They had this staunch belief. They kept to their Jewish culture. So, that is why he says, your ancestors, our forefathers, means Stephen reminds them, our forefathers did. So he connected to them through their history, through their staunch beliefs. So that's how we know that they also knew about the Jewish culture, but they could speak Greek and other languages, Roman languages. Oh, sorry. They were blasphemed by what Stephen was witnessing. Why did you mean by, what do we mean by blaspheming? Blaspheming means they said, what is this fellow talking? We know what is the history. And he is saying, you stiff-necked people, you tortured the prophets, you did this, and now you killed Jesus also, and now you're saying he's not the Son of God, and all that. So they were really, they were really offended by the way he spoke about it. And they did not like it. And then they opposed Stephen and produced false witnesses. Why? Because Stephen, when they asked questions, interrogated him, he spoke to them in wisdom. That is what the Bible says. So they could not counter argue with him. They could not tell him or point out any mistake in his argument which could lead him to stoning or any sentence of death. So what did they do? They produced false witnesses. Any similarities, can you remember? False witnesses. Anyone who was killed because of false witnesses? Yes. Jesus. Okay, so they were used to this kind of false witnesses and stuff. They killed him. Okay. So these people, members of the synagogue, they were freedmen. They would get offended and they would, so they never liked it. But who are the people who are stoned to death? We saw that Stephen was stoned to death. Now, without his sticks, who were stoned to death? So, in the Old Testament, there were people who were stoned to death. Whoever blasphemes the name of the Lord. Okay, this is in Leviticus 24:16. So, that means they put an allegation that he blasphemed the name of the Lord. But what do you think? According to his discussion. Did he blaspheme? Did he say anything wrong about God? He did not say anything wrong about God, but he said, you are the people who are doing all this. So he actually told them, has worshipped other gods. Did he do that?
No.
Anyone who curses their God, did he curse? No. He didn't do any of the things, but still, imagine the allegations put on him that he was stoned to death. So, now just to give it a more descriptive approach, there is a short video, like, because he keeps saying, no, that forefathers, this thing. We will just watch a glimpse of what Stephen had to go through in this whole process of his, you know, examination, like when they were interrogating him, and then finally when they stoned him to death. It says in, when they approached him, his face looked like an angel. Now, how, I don't know how you would describe an angel. Maybe he had a sober face or he had a beautiful face. But towards the end also, imagine after stoning, when you stone a person, the face has to be really bleeding, brutal. But still it says his face looked like an angel. So we will just have a glance at as to how it whole thing went.
This man ceases not to speak blasphemous words against this holy place and the law. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth shall destroy this place and shall change the customs Moses delivered us.
Are these things so? Men, brethren, and fathers, hearken. The God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham, and said unto him, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and come into the land which I shall shew thee. Then came he out of the land of the Chaldeans, and dwelt in Charan, and from thence, when his father was dead, he removed him into this land, wherein ye now dwell. And he gave him none inheritance of it. No, not so much as to set his foot on it. Yet he promised that he would give it to him for a possession, and to his seed after him, when as yet he had no child. And God spake on this wise, that his seed should sojourn in a strange land, and that they should bring them into bondage for 400 years. But when the time of the promise drew nigh, which God had sworn to Abraham, the people grew and multiplied in Egypt, in which time Moses was born. And Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians, and was mighty in words and in deeds. And when he was full 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. This is that Moses which said unto the children of Israel, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren. Like unto me, him shall ye hear. This is he that was in the church in the wilderness with the angel, which spake to him in the Mount Sinai, and with our fathers, who received the lively oracles to give unto us, to whom our fathers would not obey, but thrust him from them, and in their hearts turned back again into Egypt, saying unto Aaron, make us gods to go before us. For as for this Moses, which brought us out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what is become of him. And they made a calf in those days, and offered sacrifice to the idol, and rejoiced in the works of their own hands. Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost. As your fathers did, so do ye. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them and shewed before the coming of the just one, of whom ye have been now the betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by the disposition of angels, and have not kept it. I see the heavens opened, and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Jesus, receive my spirit. Lord, lay not this sin to their charge.
So, we saw how brutal it is, right? What kind of conviction did Stephen have that he could go through such a terrible punishment for no fault of his? He helped the widows. He went ahead and he said, I'm going to heal you. I'm going to, give you life. And he went on and he shared the gospel with people. Is there anything wrong in this? Okay, no. The last person who saw this, it was Saul. Okay. He saw. So imagine the ways of God is so different from the ways of man. Because of this guy, he was martyred, he was killed. But Paul went, when he saw him, he saw there was something different in this person. Stephen could not, do so many what we saw Paul doing. But Stephen did make an impact on that person's life who was watching him. He died. It's similar to what Jesus did, right? Jesus was an exemplary who led his way. He died so that we could receive that freedom, and we could receive and we could tell people everywhere that, this is good news. You have life. You don't have to live in your sin. You will or you can be redeemed. So that is what Jesus came to tell us, and that is what Stephen was telling us. Now, can a normal human being, you may say Stephen was a superhero or anything. A normal human being wouldn't have been able to do this because he was full of the Holy Spirit. He was able to. What did he say in the end? Anyone remember? What did he say? Father, do not hold this sin against them. Can we, if suppose somebody does something against us in our workplaces or anything, if somebody takes revenge on us, are we able to say, Lord, please don't hold that against them. They do not know. Forgive them. We are not able to even forgive that small thing. But imagine, he was saying, God, they will not understand. They will not know. Just let it go. Just forgive them, Lord. Do not hold this against them. So because he was so full of the Holy Spirit, do you think overnight the Holy Spirit came upon him? No. He might have done certain things, or he might have prepared himself in such a way that he was so full of the Holy Spirit at all times. It says in his description all the time that he was so full of the Holy Spirit. And Holy Spirit means that people saw it evidently, that yes, this man is so full of the Spirit. Maybe they saw the fruit of the Spirit in him. Maybe they saw joy in him all the time. Maybe they saw patience, peace, when we can see this replica of what Stephen might have. So they have seen certain things Stephen doing, healing, blessing. So he was selfless. It says self-control is one of the fruit of the Spirit. He was able to control his anger or his frustrations. He was able to do a lot of, he was gentle with people. He was faithful to his service. So we saw, so the Holy Spirit shows or it manifests itself through different kinds or ways that people look at us. So no one achieves that in their life, you know, but Stephen did. Whenever we speak about Stephen, the Bible says that he was a man, he was a godly man, and he, so that doesn't mean he was sinless. Please don't take it that way. He was not sinless. He also had his, maybe he had his own struggles in life, but whenever people met him and saw him, they saw the Spirit of God working through him. Then it says that he was full of wisdom. He was full of wisdom. And it says, for the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. Who gives wisdom? The Lord. That means he was so close to the Lord. Maybe he was inquiring of God every single minute. Lord, what do I do with this? Lord, now these people have taken me into custody. What do I do? What do I speak to them? He spoke in wisdom, and it says when he spoke, they did not have even a word against him. They could not counterattack him. And that is why they had to produce false witnesses. So he was a man full of wisdom. He was a man full of faith. Agree? Yes, you saw that he was a man full of faith. He had a faith and he saw. He said, I can see Jesus, I can see the Son of Man seated at the right. How can he see if he wouldn't have had faith? And do you think that his faith built up overnight? What do you think? His faith, he was a man like you and me. Suppose if we were in Stephen's position, what do you think? Can people tell us that you are a man full of faith or you are a woman full of faith? What would they tell or look at us like? Can they take us as an exemplary figure like Stephen and say, no, this person has so much faith. We cannot, or this person has so much wisdom. Now, the thing that I'm telling that, you know, these things do not grow overnight. It needs a lot of, you know, exercise, faith building exercise. Maybe there have been troubles in his life or there have been challenges in his life which built his faith. And said, no, I'm going to trust God and I'm going to see these people heal. Maybe there was times when he was argued with and he didn't know what to do. And he asked God, God, give me wisdom. I don't know what to do here. I don't know how to handle the quarrels of these women who are fighting. Maybe the widows didn't have food, or maybe they had more food. They didn't. He needed wisdom for that, to distribute. Maybe he needed wisdom for his day-to-day routine work. And that grew, and over the period of time, he became a man full of the Holy Spirit, full of the wisdom. So maybe we will have a small beginning. Maybe we will say, "Arey, Stephen was such a great man. What about me? I am like one small person. I don't even deserve," or something like that. Or we may feel, it is not my calling. But it doesn't grow over time. The fruit takes time to grow. And that means we have to be at it. As in, if there is a trouble that is coming, we have to handle it with wisdom. Then only we'll grow in wisdom. If there is any kind of, you know, so yeah, it also says he was a man full of grace. How did grace work with him? How was he able to forgive those people who were stoning him? Do you think that means he wasn't he practicing forgiveness all his life? That means he was practicing forgiveness all his life. Maybe he had to forgive much bigger things. And that is why grace grew in his heart. Grace grew in his mind. And therefore, when the bigger thing happened, he was able to show grace to them also. So it is never that, okay, on that final day, I will do it. When I will be called to preach, I will do it. It's not like that. With small things, God starts up. Okay, maybe you are just putting up a chair early morning and you are saying, okay, Lord, I'm putting up this chair. But tomorrow, God may take you. You are setting up the chair. Tomorrow, God will take you where there will be multiple chairs where you need to preach before. So, today you have a small beginning, but definitely Stephen, to see God. Okay, so we may always desire that, oh wow, those disciples were so blessed to see Jesus and all that we say. But the kind of difficulties that they went through, or the kind of, you know, learnings that they had to go through, is we cannot even imagine. So when we want to see God, or if we want to be in the, you know, be like Stephen, I think we have to go through that process. Maybe that grinding, I would say, or maybe that discipline in life where I need to read the word of God. So how did Stephen know the history or the background, or how was he able to quote the scriptures? Because maybe he was practicing it. Maybe he was doing his regular Bible reading, or maybe he was going through those scripts, manuscripts, or something. He was going to the synagogue, reading it and understanding it, learning it, putting it in his mind. So where did he have time for all this? Because he had to, remember, he had a job to do with those women. So he took time off. Or maybe he was already preparing himself for such a day where he had to preach. So he did a lot of things. If we read in Acts 7, he healed, he prayed, he did all this work also with the disciples. And plus, then he went on to speak the good news. So we know that he definitely scheduled his time and efforts in such a way that he was able to speak out the scriptures in front of these people. Okay, so many times what happens, we say that we are not able to speak in front of people. I don't know what to tell them when they ask me certain questions. That's because I have not really read my word. I don't know. The wisdom is not come yet from God. Or I have not asked, because in the book of James, it is very clearly said that if you ask for wisdom, God gives it without finding fault. Means he will not look at how much you have sinned or how much what you have done. But you will get wisdom without even God finding fault with you. So that means I need to learn my scriptures. I need to do things. If I need to do something for God. And also, many times we may feel that, okay, why should I do anything for Jesus? Jesus has done everything for me and he died on the cross. He will automatically save the whole world. But no, he needs you and me to do that. He needs people like Stephen who will step out of their comfort zone. I don't know whether he had a take care of. I don't know whether what kind of a background he comes from. Okay, but he took that decision of saying that no, I'm not going to, God will take care of it. I am going to do this for the kingdom of God. Okay, so there is this one scripture portion which very well connects with what Stephen did. Can one of you read this? So imagine, it says that everything, okay, he found great value, he went away and sold everything. Here also, he hid it again, then in his joy went and sold all he had. And then he bought that field. What is so special about that field? All he had means, imagine from a certain age, he must be working really hard. Okay, maybe making plans, maybe having dreams. That, oh, one day I'm going to build a house with this money. I'm going to do this with the property that I get. I want to give good education to my children and this and that. And one fine day, he says, forget about my children. Forget about this property. Forget about that. I'm going to sell all of that. I'm going to buy this field. Foolishness, isn't it? it's foolishness. But what it actually means is that he finds Jesus, he finds the redemption of Jesus Christ. And he says that, okay, all this is secondary. That is what it means. All this is secondary. But I need to carry out the work, or I need to be at it for God. Okay, just like how Stephen did. Maybe he had a lot of responsibility. But he said, okay, this can wait. But I need to get this thing for Jesus. And that's what he did. So it's not easy to give up a lifelong earnings. It is not easy. It is not easy to give away the expectations of people. People might have expected a lot from you. Maybe you're the only earning member of the family. You know, maybe they have a lot of hope on you. But you say that, no, I'm going to follow God and His directions rather than what I or my physical needs are. And I say, okay, I'm going to do this, this, this for God. And you read the Bible and you say, okay, I'm going to give this time, this hour to God, and I am not going to, you know, procrastinate anymore. I am going to study the word. I'm going to get more wisdom. I'm going to get more knowledge. So that is what we are talking about. Giving up certain things to head on to the kingdom of God. Okay, because all these things can wait. All these things will be added unto you. That is what the word of God so strongly says. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Means you will not even expect property or anything else, but God will add on. He'll say, okay, He is following me. He will add on. And it also says that, you know, this is what it is all about. The kingdom of God is like a precious pearl. You lose it, we miss it. We have just given it up. And Stephen knew exactly what it is to give up everything, even his own life, for that precious pearl, for the kingdom of God, for God. Because through that one person's sacrifice, there was one man whose heart changed, who was born, and that was Paul. And we will see in later chapters how Stephen's death impacted Paul. And then today we quote Paul's scriptures so often and so well, but he was a witness to that martyrdom. So definitely, as we said, let's begin the journey together, because it's all about Jesus. Okay, so just we may not feel that, oh, we are equipped for that great a calling. Okay, we may see that, oh, I don't even know the Bible. Why not start off with reading your scriptures, knowing what God wants me to do, and then gain wisdom from Him. Be faithful in what you are doing. So we start with small things. We expect God to work in our lives. And as we do it, as we said, Stephen did not change over time or overnight that he became so full of the Holy Spirit, so full of wisdom. We have to be at it. We have to give time. We have to ask our leaders, our mentors, and be accountable to what we are doing and say, am I in the right direction? Am I doing this? Attend prayer meetings whenever possible and say, Lord, I want to dedicate this time. Like how that man with the treasure said, I want to give it all to you. So give that time, which I may have used it for something else, and give it to God. And say, God, take this. Okay, so God requires that commitment, that dedication. It's not very difficult. But when I start with small things, my beginnings will be small. But as I grow closer and closer to God, I will see that, wow, it's indeed like a treasure in the field for which I can sell my entire property. I can, it's all secondary for me. This is more important for me. And God will add on to you whatever you have lost. And one day we will all see the Son of God, Jesus, when we are, in our last breath, we will say, Lord, I have been a good disciple. I have been a good son or daughter for you. I've done what you have told me to do. Okay, so let's just see, look at the cross and look at what God is asking us to do. Let's start small, because the journey is together. We each other, remind each other and say, come on, let's move on. We have to make it to the end.
So can we all just rise up this morning and maybe, you know, we saw this man, Stephen, and we just reflect on his life, and we've been called for a service to serve the widows, been called to do a service, and we don't know the background, what he was, what was his profession and what he did, but when he was been chosen, he was onto it. And maybe God is speaking to us this morning. Have I not chosen you for my service? And that question strike us this morning, this time, because this place is filled with the Holy Spirit. Have I not chosen you for my service? And this man chose that work. It was not a glamorous work. It was not preaching, teaching like Peter and Paul, ministering or meeting high professional people, but it was the service for the widows. May God asking you this morning, have I not chosen you for a service which you felt it was minimal? Or something you felt is not important, or you never desired for? This question will strike us this morning because the Holy Spirit is reminding us of this to us. And he took that service in full dedication, filled with the Holy Spirit, filled with full of wisdom, understanding and knowledge and grace and power, and he operated in that. He left everything and he took that up. Maybe this morning the Holy Spirit asking us, have you not become busy in your life? Have you changed your goals in life? This question will strike us very badly this morning because the Holy Spirit reminding us about this. And he was ready to give up, ready to serve. Maybe whatever phase we are in our schools, we are in our high schools, colleges, we are in our workplace, we are working, or we are elderly. God reminding us this morning, we have been called for my service. We have been called for the kingdom of God. You have been filled by my Spirit. My grace will take you there. And may this morning you take that up and take that decision. It's so difficult. As a student, it's so difficult to say this morning, say that, Lord, I will serve you more than my dreams. As a profession, as working professional, it's so difficult. I would say this morning that, Lord, I will not focus on that, but I'll focus on you and your kingdom and your people and for your service. As busy men and women of life and family and this, would say, I don't have time, we're busy and things around. Maybe God just reminding us this morning, wherever you are standing, can just move your feet one side towards the left or one side and say, God, I desire that. I don't know how it will be, how it's going to be. I don't know what skill set do I have. I don't know what power will I have. I don't know what future will I have. what finances will I have, what family will I have, but maybe this is a time where God is asking you for a commitment, that you say that, I decide, God, my life is for your service. My family is your for service. My work is for your service. And he gave everything. The same way Christ gave everything for us. And this reminder is the core for us. And this reminder brought revival in nations, in cities, in families, in church. Not anyone else. It's you and me who has to take this step forward and say, Lord, I love you more than my career. I love you more than my job. I love you more than my dreams. I love you more than my fear. I love you, Lord. And God will help us if we take that decision this morning. With a step of faith, we say yes to God in our spirit. Say, use me, Lord. I'm available for your service. Whatever possible ways I'm available. When there is a calling, I will take that step, because you will be reminded of this day where you have taken this step of faith. Lord, my life is for your service. Lord, we bless you with thank you. Fill us with grace, fill us with wisdom, fill us with the Holy Spirit. Lord, as a family, as we take step together, we know there is great breakthroughs in our life, Lord. We sang the song, all fear is gone. What peace we have. But this morning, God reminding us that. Lord, we pray that all of us here will be utilized for your kingdom. It will be like that farmer who sells everything and he knows how much precious is this than what the world offers for us. And we will always be reminded of it. The word says, unless and the seed falls down and it dies, it does not come to life. We need to die. Our self need to die so that Christ will live. Lord, we bless each one of us who have taken that decision in faith and who are still calculating that cost. Lord, we bring everyone together. And Lord, we pray, use. Lord, for years back, we have taken certain decisions like this in camps, in places where we have been asked to, do you follow Jesus? We said, yes, Lord. Do you want to give your life to him? We said, yes. Just that faith, and we are all here today as well. Lord, we bless each one of us. Remind us, Lord. Remind us of our past call. Remind us of our present calling. Remind us of what you are going to do in our lives in the future. We bless each one of us. May the love of the Father, and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit will remain with us for now. Bless the hands who are given and let them give more for your kingdom. Bless you with thank you. In the name of Jesus, we ask. Amen.